Well, good morning and welcome to our online worship. We know that there'll be so many of you joining us in different parts of the country and in Suffolk and elsewhere. We do thank you for joining with us during this period of lockdown. And it's very much our prayer and our hope that you will feel a oneness with us, that you will hear God's voice speaking to you, and that this service will make a difference to you today. So I'm Paul, one of the leadership team at Bethesda, and I'm absolutely delighted to have Guy Fairweather with me this morning, sharing in this service. So Guy, welcome, and how are you?
Hello, Paul. I'm very well. I'm very well, thank you, and welcome everybody else. Great to be sharing this time with all who are with us. Yeah, it's good. Good.
So, Guy, this morning we're looking again. We're in this series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we're right in the heart of this now. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, and I thought I'd ask you just at the outset whether you had ever, or perhaps recently, experienced an act of kindness that someone else has done for you, and what difference it's made. I mean, I'm hoping at this point you're not going to say, no, I haven't, because that would bring things to a bit of a halt.
But what's
your experience of in this area of receiving kindness from someone?
Yeah, no, I know I very much have, and it's been relatively recently. As many of you know, I was at some risk of losing my job during the summer. And that was an interesting experience, perhaps the first time in my whole working career I've ever had such a situation. And it was just interesting kind of who showed up at that time particularly, and especially those who I worked with. And just completely out of the blue, I had a number of people, and men as well, which perhaps you think sometimes men aren't as tuned in. There's a stereotyping to do, isn't it?
Yes,
not always as tuned in, and not people who were kind of close with me at work, but people a little bit further away. And and just the fact that they had taken time to text me and to ring me and have a chat was actually really quite moving. And I was really quite touched by the power of that. It was a simple thing, and I knew they were busy, they're under pressure, but they just that taken out of time. They didn't have to do it. You know, we weren't close enough that it was felt to be like an obligation. But I think just that taking of that time to do that and to share. And I was really quite humanly, I was quite touched by that experience. I think it was instructive to me as well, because it's very easy to think, well, yeah, I enjoyed that, or that was helpful. But then I think, well, and have I showed up for others at this time as well? So it's, you know, it's kind of a double-edged thing, really. It was a moving and quite a powerful thing for me, but also a challenge for me as to whether I was living, modeling that myself with others who were in a similar position.
That's, I think, interesting, isn't it, to think of, you know, the small acts, apparently quite small acts of kindness can make a big difference. I mean, that's certainly the theme, I think, of the John Lewis Christmas advert that's gone out this week, that it's all about these small acts of kindness, kind of helping people during the current COVID situation. Yeah. But Guy, I've heard on the grapevine that you have a reputation at work of actually being kind. I have a feeling that it's even recorded, your kindness is even recorded officially. Is that, am I right about that?
You're absolutely right in this. And I've now got to find it in this very lengthy report, but we everybody who's kind of director and senior manager in the business has had what's called an insights report, which is it's one of the many psychometric reports that are available on the market. Others are available as well.
They're always very interesting, these. I've had similar things done myself at work for some
uncannily
council, and they're quite telling, I think, really.
Yeah, so I always bring mine home. We haven't done it every 2 or 3 years, because you do, you know, people can change. And and I always bring them home and think, is that right? And I show them to Karen. She's, that's amazing. That's absolutely spot on. You think,
yes.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Yeah, so, well, these are not words you'd expect to see in a report from somebody who works in construction, maybe. Guy feels a love and sensitivity for others and an appreciation for life, which I thought was very nice. That's good. Is seen by most people, I'm not sure why it's not everybody, but he's seen by most people as kind and sympathetic. He relates well to people in need and can build long-term relationships with people he views as disadvantaged in some ways.
Yeah.
That was quite nice, but a bit of a surprise to see something like that in a sort of management report. He is seen as kind and sympathetic, but anyway, I'll take that in light of what we're thinking about today.
I think that's impressive, Guy. And clearly, I can see, you know, the basis of your long-term friendship with me is.
Yeah, I was thinking
that ability to reach out to the disadvantaged.
Yeah,
so, that's good. But the other question I wanted to ask you is, you know, do you find in the work situation and perhaps within our culture, kindness sometimes gets a bit of a bad press, isn't it? I've had people say to me in my work, you can't afford to be too kind. You know, don't be too kind, because if you are, then people will take advantage of you. Have you come across that, and do you give that any credence at all, Guy?
I don't know if it's been expressed in that way. I think you do feel the subtlety of the pressure of that. Mm. You know, as I work in what's considered to be quite again, here we go for stereotyping, what can be quite a macho culture, and I think it is. It's not without its problems as well. There is a sense in which, unless you're bawling people out and banging the table, that somehow you're not getting things done. And to have a different approach to that can be a disadvantage. And the heroes, perhaps in the business, are often those who can throw things about a bit and get, you know. So it's a subtle one, I think, without it necessarily being stated. And probably if you had a new manager joining and somebody said, describe their attributes to you, and you said to them, oh, he or she is really kind, I'm not sure if culturally you'd start off with that, would you? Say, well, they're very experienced and they're very strong leaders. And but to say, to open up with, you know, what I got on there, to open up with kind and sympathetic, I think most people think, okay, I'm not sure what's coming here. So I think, again, scripture can be quite countercultural, can't it? And living the fruit of the Spirit out in our lives, in our workplaces and so on, in that way, is there is a pressure, isn't there? And hopefully today we'll further confirm that is the course we should be on, however countercultural it might be.
Well, I think that's really interesting, Guy, because that's really one of the things I want to explore a little bit this morning, whether kindness is really a bit of a soft fruit and a bit of a weakness rather than a virtue. And so we'll return to that. But those are some interesting thoughts. And I think you're going to lead us in prayer now before we move on with our worship.
Of course, yes.
Thank you.
Let's do that. We'll pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of worship. Our Father, we thank you for what we learn about you in your word. We thank you that you are described amongst many things as being one who is kind. And our Father, as we think about that subject today, we're conscious that in many ways we need to mirror your character. We need to mirror your attributes as far as we can as human beings, and live that which you exemplify. Our Father, as we think about this subject of kindness, we thank you for the way in which your kindness was shown to us so wonderfully and powerfully in sending the Lord Jesus, such an undeserved act to such undeserving people. And yet in your kindness, you did that for us. And we can worship you. We can bring our praise to you. We can come in prayer to you. We can have a heart which wants to sing songs of praise and worship because of your kindness to us, because of your life-changing work through the Lord Jesus. And so, our Father, we pray, please, that you'd help us as we share in this time together. Father, as we meet in this way, we pray nonetheless that you'd help each one of us by your Holy Spirit to bring our worship. You'd help us to focus in upon you. You'd help us to bring our lives of praise to you for all of your goodness to us that we experience in so many ways, and that you would be with us as we share in this time together. Father, we thank you for our church family, and we pray, please, you'd help us to be kind to one another, And Father, we all have our challenges and needs and situations which can be of burden and care to us. And we pray you'd make us sensitive to the needs of those around us, to those members of our church family, that your kindness would be seen in us as we are kind to each other and encourage one another in our Christian walk with you. So bless this time to us now, Father, we pray, and this prayer we bring in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I referred to the kindness of God and his nature in our opening prayer, and we think about that now as we sing our opening hymn. It is the song, "There is an Everlasting Kindness." We think about the God of heaven who came and showed himself and his kindness to us in the sending of the Lord Jesus, and that ongoing kindness as well as we seek to live for and serve him and live for him in these days. So let's enjoy and sing from our hearts this song now, "There is an Everlasting Kindness."
Everlasting kindness you lavished on us when the radiance of heaven came to rescue the lost. You called the sheep without a shepherd to leave their distress for your streams of forgiveness and the shade of your rest. Passion for the hurting, you reached out your hand, and the lame ran to meet you, and the dead breathed again. You saw behind the eyes of sorrow, and shared in our tears. Heard the sigh of the weary, let the children draw near. Gazed on your face, at the thorns of oppression and the wounds of disgrace. For surely you have borne our suffering and carried our grief, as you pardon the scoffers and show grace to the thief. What boundless love, what fathomless grace, you have shown us, oh God. This gospel of peace to the fields of injustice and the valleys of need, to be a voice of hope and healing, to answer the cries of the hungry and helpless with the mercy of Christ. What boundless love, what fathomless grace, you have shown us, oh God. Show to the world your compassion. What
Well, I'm going to invite you this morning to join in a game which I've called Fruit or False. And it's ideally, it would be, I think, a game where we would need the washing line in church. But as we can't be in the church building at the moment, I thought we'd use the rotary dryer out in the garden instead. So here it is. And I'm just doing a little spin of the dryer. And you'll see that on the dryer, instead of any washing, we've actually got some headings. And there are eight of these all together. They're in four pairs. And four of the things that we've got here represent the good stuff, the good things that God wants to see in our lives and that he wants other people to see in our lives. And the other four are bad stuff, stuff that God would say, get rid of these things out of your lives. So in a moment, I'm going to spin the dryer. I did think of offering a chocolate bar for each spin of the dryer. But the only trouble with that is that I would end up with at least four chocolate bars. And I don't think during lockdown that that would be very good for me. So I've abandoned the idea of any chocolate bars. So here we go. Let's do the first spin. And here we go. We've ended up with patience and rage as our two headings. Now, patience is what Guy was telling us about as one of the fruits of the Spirit last week. And I thought that in many ways, rage is the opposite. When somebody gets into road rage out on a motorway or on a road and starts blowing their horn and shouting at another motorist, it's really because they're impatient. They're not prepared to wait and they get into a rage. So there's not much doubt here, is there? Which is the rubbish, the bad stuff that needs to go? Here it is. It's rage. And we want to get rid of this rage. There's only one thing to do with this rage, and that is to get rid of it and throw it in the bin. And we're left then with patience, which is the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to see in our lives. So let's do a second spin. Whoops, nearly hit myself with the rotary dryer there. And we've got peace and jealousy. Now, peace is what we heard about 2 weeks ago, or maybe even longer than that, and something that's very important for us to know: peace with God and also to live at peace with other people. And jealousy is the other thing we've got here. And I thought, well, jealousy is the opposite of peace. If I'm jealous of somebody and I feel envious and I think they've got all the good things in their lives and I haven't, then I feel angry and cross and I don't have that peace in my heart. So again, there's not much doubt, is there, that peace is the fruit, and jealousy, we're going to take it down off the washing line and we're just going to throw it away. We're going to get rid of it in the bin because we don't want it and God doesn't want to see it in our lives. Let's spin again, give a good spin this time. And here we go. And this time we've come to selfishness. There we go, the wind's blowing that one around a bit. We've come to selfishness and kindness. Now, kindness is the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about in this morning's service. And selfishness, I think, is the opposite of kindness. Selfishness is when I'm just thinking about myself and what I want and me first. And kindness is when I really think of others and I put their needs first. So there's no doubt, is there, that selfishness, this is the bad stuff. This is the false stuff. And we just need to get rid of it and throw it in the bin. So we've got one more spin, and it's going to be a big spin this time because, see, my two headings are a long way away, and here they are. And not much doubt about these either. Love, that Andrew told us about a few weeks ago, which is a marvellous and wonderful fruit of the Spirit, perhaps the one that sort of holds all the others together and so important in our relationships with each other. And we've got, as the opposite of love, here's the bad stuff, the false stuff. We have hatred. And we need to get rid of that hatred. It's another of the false things that God says, get rid of these things from your heart. And then there will be room for the fruit of the Spirit. And so left on my washing line now, let's just see what we've got left. We've got love, and we've got kindness, and we've got patience, and we've got peace. And if these things are evident in my life, then other people are going to know that God is at work, because I can't produce these things in my heart and in my life on my own. They're the fruit of the Spirit, and I need just to make sure that there is room for that wonderful fruit to grow in my heart and in my life. So we're going to hear a little bit more later in the service about the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. Well, Steve and Sharon, it really is good to have you with us this morning. Thank you very much for joining us. And I know you're going to talk just a little bit now about your experience of house group. And I'm very much aware that you've been coming along to house group ever since the lockdown back in March. I think that's right, isn't it? Is that sort of every week or every fortnight? How does that work?
Well, it started off at the beginning of the first lockdown. We did start going for once a week because mm-hmm. we thought that was important. But gradually over time, and certainly through the summer with holidays and things, we move towards more once every 2 weeks. And at the moment, we're in a rota of once every 2 weeks. We have had a couple of weeks where, for various reasons, when people could go out and about, that we didn't have a two-week one. I think we probably went for once every 3 weeks at one point. But at the moment, we're doing every 2 weeks, and that seems to work for us.
Sure. Well, that's been a lot of house groups, really, since March. And obviously, those house groups have been on Zoom. They've been sort of virtual house groups. How have you folks found that's worked for you? Because I think some people might think, well, that sounds a bit impersonal. Does the technology get in the way? Are we all interrupting each other? Is it more difficult to have a house group via Zoom, do you think?
I think, well, for me personally, being quite honest, I've become rather used to Zoom and other similar systems with work and things. So from that point of view, it's not too bad for me. But I do think the one thing that's important, and we find this in our work meetings as well, is that it's important that someone, if they can, tries to control the meeting as best they can. And that's obviously for our group particularly, that's what Guy tries to do. He's the main person, and he will ask people to start a prayer and finish, but which works well.
I think he does a good job controlling us, doesn't he? We're not probably the easiest group to control, but you're absolutely right that is very necessary, really.
I think personally, house groups meeting face to face is obviously the best thing. But obviously, I think we're so blessed to have the technology, you know, through Zoom, to be able to still connect with each other and have a chat with each other. And yes, you do occasionally get people talking at the same time, but
but that happens sometimes when we're in the same room.
Yes,
as well, doesn't
absolutely.
It it's just the nature of human interaction. So what actually, give us a little flavor of, you know, when you're in the house group and Guy is leading the group, what are some of the elements that actually make up the house group? And some people might also be thinking, who don't attend a group at the moment, well, how much of a time commitment is this? Is it a lengthy meeting on Zoom? And so what happens and how long is it? That sort of thing.
So our meetings normally start off with a time of just catching up about what's been going on, how people are, what's happening in people's lives in the 2 weeks before, which is obviously very valuable because that leads in later on to our time of prayer. We also have a short time normally when the person chairing the meeting will lead a bit of a study, and we use the notes often that Andrew sends around to the group leaders as part of that. So we have those that we go with. And then we come to probably the most important part, certainly I think for us, is towards the end when we then have a time of prayer. And we obviously pray for wider issues, but also we pray for issues within the house group, don't we?
Yeah. And it's not very long. It's only about 45 minutes. So,
So not a massive time commitment, really, particularly in view of the fact that people that we're all doing this within our own home, so we can just
Don't have to get in the car and travel to somebody's house. And
you can have your cup of tea there or whatever.
You have to make your own, unfortunately, your own cup of tea and cake.
Well, yes, yeah, there has to be a downside somewhere, doesn't there? I guess that's it. So how important would you say being part of the house group has been for you during, you know, what we'd all acknowledge has been a tough year, it's been a difficult year. How important has the house group been in sort of helping you in your Christian lives during this time?
So as some of the people watching will know, we probably haven't as a family had the easiest of lockdowns. Certainly in the first lockdown, one of our sons was struggling going into it and subsequently did as well. And one of our other sons has struggled a bit. So we've not had an easy time in lockdown. But I think for us, the one thing that house group brings to us is the knowledge that there are people there that do pray for us. And there has been occasion when we've almost had crisis points, shall we say, and we will send an email to the rest of the house group. And you just know that people then, when they get that email and see it, will be praying for you. And we've had response from people that says that's what's happened. And that's been quite helpful to us as a family to know that as well. So I think that's one thing that we've definitely benefited from being part of a house group for.
Yeah. I think particularly for me as a mum, you know, when your children are not well, it is a big worry.
Yes.
And I have been, to put it mildly, extremely anxious over some of the last few months. Mm. And I think the only time that I've really felt absolutely calm and at peace is when we've been able to have the house group and pray together. And not only house groups, but the Sunday services as well. I've just come away from them feeling really, really calm and knowing the Lord's presence, really. Yeah. So it's been really good and helpful.
Well, Sharon, that's a tremendous encouragement. And it kind of takes us back a little bit, doesn't it, to, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the peace of God that transcends understanding. It's not something that we can understand, but we do experience it. And one of the ways we experience it is through prayer. Yeah. Thank you both so much for sharing that with us. And hopefully that might be an encouragement to someone who's listening this morning and thinking, well, is a house group perhaps for me in the time going forward? And we're going to provide a few details later in the service, in the notices, just about how you could link up with a house group if that's what you feel that you would like to do. But Sharon, I know that you're now going to just share a scripture reading with us now, so I'll hand over to you just to introduce that and just to share the word of God with us. Thank you very much.
This morning's reading is taken from the book of Ephesians and chapter 4, beginning at verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Well, we do thank Steve and Sharon for sharing so helpfully with us in our time of family worship this morning. Just a few items of family news just to highlight for you. Do read the family news. There's everything in there, probably far more accurate than I'm going to share with you now, but just a few things to pick up just for your attention. Just to give you a heads up that we're reaching the deadline for the gifts for Find, and would really encourage you, if you have yet to do that and want to do that, that happens during this week. And similarly as well with the church greeting, we need to get that all sorted as well. So do please, if you would like to share in a greeting to the wider church, that that's completed this week as well, in line with all the instructions given in family news. So thank you, and can I encourage you in both of those areas. And they're not necessarily connected. You can do one or the other or both, and that's absolutely fine, but do please support as you are able. Stephen Sharon, in conversation with Paul, were discussing the blessings and benefits of being a part of the house group. And, you know, right at the beginning of the Bible, God speaking out says it's not good for man to be alone. And whilst the setting and context is very different, you know, in many ways it is absolutely true of our Christian lives as well, that it's not good for us to be alone. We need each other. We need that encouragement, that support, that challenge, that help, that prayer. And if being a part of a house group would be a way in which you could share in that mutual encouragement and growing in the Lord Jesus, we'd really encourage that. And if you'd like to be a part of a house group, do please email in. We'll put the email address on the screen here now and at the end as well. And if you email into that address, we will take things on from there and we'll organise that for you. But really encourage you to be a part of the house group as you are able. Well, we're going to come to our time of family prayer now. And let's join together in those prayers, shall we? Our loving Father, as we think about the theme of kindness, we pray, please, that you'd help us to be kind within the setting of our families, within the setting, too, of our church family. Our Father, many of us have known, experienced the prompting of the Holy Spirit, just guiding and directing and giving somebody coming to mind, somebody upon our hearts. And our Father, if that is the way that you work in our hearts, we pray that you'd help us to follow that through, to make that phone call, to write that letter, to send that email. That, Father, together we would do well to support each other in that real sense of kindness and love. And so, our Father, help us to that end, we pray. We pray, Father, for our church family at this time. Father, the challenges are many and numerous and are too many to bring at this point. But, Father, in the quietness now, we bring our own prayers to you and those particularly laid upon our heart. And Father, firstly, we want to lift to you those who we know within the life of the church need at this time a particular touch of your hand upon their lives. And our Father, we pray too, please, that you would help us in our evangelism, in our outreach. Our Father, as we come to this, coming increasingly close to our Christmas season, Father, it presents some unique opportunities to share the good news of the Lord Jesus. And Father, as church leadership, we have many things planned, many opportunities to share the good news of the Lord Jesus, to share services. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to be thinking about this and praying for this and bringing this matter to you in our prayers. That, Father, you'd help us to do well, to share the good news of Emmanuel, the coming Saviour into this world, the one who brings hope and light. And Father, what an amazing story to bring at this time. So help us, we pray, as a church and as individuals, to be bold and confident in sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus. And Father, bless our ambitions over the Christmas period, please, we pray. Our Father, you instruct us to pray for our government and those in leadership. My Father, it seems hardly a week goes by without new challenges in terms of COVID, new challenges in terms of Brexit, new challenges in terms of the economy, new challenges everywhere, Father, and such massive responsibility for those called to leadership. And we pray for our Prime Minister, and we pray for our government, for those who have specific executive powers and responsibilities, that, Father, your work would be done in these places. And our Father, too, as we just conclude this time in our family worship, we pray for our own ongoing spiritual developments and growth in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray, please, you'd help us to be people of your word, people of prayer, people of evangelism, people of fellowship and kindness and encouragement to one another, those who are salt and light in this world. Father, help us, we pray, to live well for the Lord Jesus in these days. And this prayer we bring in his precious name. Amen. Well, Paul's going to come and share in a moment and thinking around the fruit of the Spirit being kindness. But before he comes to do that, we're going to sing together another hymn. It's again a hymn which has the theme of kindness within it and has these words in the second verse: "For the love of God is broader than the measures of the mind, and the heart of the eternal, the heart of God, is most wonderfully kind." So let's sing this, shall we, in preparation for listening to God's word together this morning.
So this morning, we are thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. And as Guy and I discussed at the beginning of this morning's service, this virtue, kindness, it's not universally popular in our culture, and indeed seen by some as perhaps being a form of weakness. But that's certainly not true for the Apostle Paul. He actually gives kindness a central place within the ninefold fruit of the Spirit that he lists. And Paul isn't just doing that on a whim, because kindness features largely both in the Old and New Testaments as being an attribute of God and a virtue which is very highly commended. So what can we learn about this virtue of kindness this morning? Just two things, I think, particularly that I'd like to draw your attention to. And the first is this, that kindness is really all about forgiveness. We found that in our reading this morning, where the Apostle Paul tells his readers, members of a particular church, that they are to be kind to one another, forgiving each other. He links kindness and forgiveness very, very closely together. And immediately we do that, we recognize that kindness is not some kind of soft fruit, easy kind of virtue. It's actually incredibly tough and difficult. Think for yourself about an occasion when you've faced the challenging task of forgiving someone who has really hurt you, maybe who's said or even posted on social media some very, very unpleasant and unkind things about you. and you haven't found it easy to forgive, and maybe you've needed resources and help beyond yourself in order to reach a point where you could forgive that person and be reconciled to them. And the Bible tells us that that is also true when it comes to God, that his forgiveness is also very costly. The Psalms, the psalmist tells us that God is kind and forgiving. Again, those two virtues, those two things linked together. And in the New Testament, and in the person of Jesus, we find what that kindness and that forgiveness really meant. It meant sacrifice. It meant that Jesus came into this world as a tiny baby at that first Christmas. It meant that he grew up in a normal, ordinary, working class family. It meant that he encountered all the challenges and difficulties of being human. It meant that he encountered great hatred and opposition to his public ministry. It meant ultimately that he went to the cross for us sinners and for our salvation, taking our place and bearing our punishment. And we've already sung about that this morning in that wonderful worship song, "There is an everlasting kindness you lavished on us when the radiance of heaven," that's Jesus, "came to rescue the lost." And the amazing thing is this, that God calls us to forgive each other as he forgives us. That's how high God sets the bar when it comes to kindness, telling us to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Now, that seems pretty challenging, doesn't it? Even as I was preparing this talk and thinking about this challenge of forgiveness, for some reason, a memory just came into my mind of something that someone had done to me many, many years ago that was very hurtful and very damaging. And I thought that it was genuinely all forgiven and forgotten. But you know, I found as it came back into my mind that I felt cross. I felt angry about it all over again. And I realized that I would need to take this too, even after all these years, to the foot of the cross and to seek God's help in forgiving afresh and forgiving on a deeper level the hurt that I perceived had been done to me. Forgiveness is not cheap and it's not easy, but it is what we are called to. And that is why, of course, this kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not something that we're going to create within our own hearts. We can try to live in a way that is kind, but that deep kindness and forgiveness is something which needs to grow within us as we follow Jesus and as God the Holy Spirit lives within our heart. I remember a good number of years ago now, Angela and I visiting an amazing natural phenomenon on the South Island of New Zealand called the Springs of Golden Bay. And these springs involved millions of gallons of water constantly bubbling up from under the ground. They came from deep underground reservoirs of water deep down in the rocks. And that water just bubbled up constantly and in fact created a powerful river that flowed away from the lake where the springs existed. And that's an amazing picture of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus, when he met a woman on one occasion by a well. He used the well and he used the water as an illustration and said to her that if anyone became a Christian, if anyone became a follower of him, then his spirit would become to them a well of water that would spring up to eternal life. And so you and I, as we face this great challenge of kindness, of forgiving each other, we need to come afresh to God, the Holy Spirit, and to seek his help in order to find that freshness and that ability to forgive and to really be kind in the way that we deal with each other. And then secondly, and finally, I think it's important to recognize that kindness is all about action. We often talk about kind deeds and kind acts, don't we? And I think it's very noticeable in the John Lewis Christmas advert that has been produced for this year, and which many of us will have seen in the past week since its release. It focuses very strongly on these little acts of kindness between neighbours and between people who meet each other and within families. And it's almost as if this virtue of kindness has suddenly been recognised in the current circumstances in which we find ourselves facing this great COVID challenge. Kindness has made a comeback. And a recognition of how important it is. Love in action is what we need in our society above all. One of the most famous stories that Jesus told was really all about acts of kindness to someone who was in great need. It's the story of a traveler, a lone traveler on a dangerous road who was attacked by thieves and robbers who beat him up really badly, beat him to within an inch of his life, stole everything from him, including his clothing, and left him for dead by the side of the road. And in the story, along come a priest and a Levite, both of them religious men who were very much involved in the service of God and the service of others. And as Jesus tells the story, we might almost think, well, these are just the chaps that we need to step in and to help this man and to rescue him and to provide him with the medical care and the treatment that he needs. These are the men to provide the acts of kindness which are so vital for this individual. And yet, of course, in the story, both of these individuals, these religious men, hurry by on the other side of the road. They maybe take a brief look, but they're not going to take any time. Maybe they think it's too dangerous to hang about in a place where the gangs of robbers might come and attack them. Maybe they're busy and they're in a hurry. And I feel that they're almost a picture of our 24/7 society. Maybe that's slightly less so under current circumstances. But the truth is that many of us are perhaps reluctant to get involved with other people and their problems because deep down we think, well, I just don't have the time to make that sort of commitment. And then in the story, along comes another individual. This, of course, is the Samaritan. And the Samaritan is completely different. He's open-hearted and open-handed. He stops, he bends down, he stoops down, he begins to provide the wounded man with exactly the kind of medical care and treatment that he needs. He uses the best available medicines of the day, oil and wine. He puts him on his own horse and he takes him to a nearby inn and pays for him to stay there until the Samaritan can come back and can check that the man is properly recovered and fit to travel again. And the Samaritan shows incredible kindness towards someone of a different race, someone who was naturally not a friend of his. And Jesus uses this as a wonderful example to us of the kindness which we are to show to our neighbor, which we are to show to others. And it does come to us, doesn't it, when Jesus says, you go and do the same. It comes to us as a great challenge. We need to go back again to the fact that this kindness is not something that we can generate within ourselves. And so this story brings with it a great challenge, because Jesus says, you go and do the same. Do the same as this Samaritan. And so as we close, I guess the question is quite simply, am I a kind person? Do I behave in a way, do I speak and do I act towards others in a way which is kind? And I'm guessing that if you're anything like me, the answer might well be yes and no. That there are occasions, perhaps at work, where you go out of your way to be kind to someone who needs that help and that lift. Perhaps you're in a caring kind of occupation where you give a great deal of yourself in the course of the day. But maybe the challenge is this: do you bring that kindness home with you? Or is it the case that perhaps your friends, your family, your nearest and dearest, as we say, are those who miss out when it comes to kindness? It's almost as if you're right out of caring by the time you get home in the evening, that the well of kindness has run completely dry. Well, if that is the case, the wonderful truth is this, that if you are a follower of Jesus, you can come to him afresh, not once or twice or on a limited number of occasions, but every day, in order to draw on that great well of everlasting kindness which he has shown towards you, so that the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness, will grow and develop and flourish in your life and in your relationship with others.
Shining like the sun, pouring like the rain, raging like the storm, refreshing me again. Ooh, 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 I receive your love. Your grace frees me from the past. It purges every sin. It purifies my heart and heals me from within. Ooh, 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 I receive your grace. Thank you. I come, lay my burden down, gladly at your feet, I'm opening up my heart, come make this joy complete.
Thank you very much, Paul, for sharing that with us. That's very helpful indeed. And we've reached the end of our family worship for today. And all that's left for me to do now is to bring a prayer of benediction. So thank you very much for joining with us. And the Lord bless you in the days of this week.
Bless you.
Now may the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forever. And now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.